Welcome to Apostates on the Fringe, a leftist atheist podcast sponsored by the Atheist Society of Knoxville. We are your hosts. I am Dustin.
Alistair.
And Sam.
Why are you the only one who actually goes through the intro, like, in a professional manner?
Because I have no creativity.
Okay.
I have literally no creativity. Like, I will spend my Thursdays, like, in my downtime, like, thinking of things I'm going to say, like, making myself mental notes because I don't have, like, fucking, like, on-the-fly thoughts that I'm really good at. And that's why I stutter so many fucking times. That on top of my crippling ADHD and fast-talking mind mindset. Anyways, like, I'm listening to myself edit, and I'm like, I don't even know what the fuck I just said there. So I have to literally cut myself out and move the fuck on, because I don't know. I was like, I don't know what I even said. Like, if I don't know what I'm saying, no one else fucking
does. Are
those
the times where there's, like, silence afterwards?
No, that's because then I bitch. I bitch after silence. I'm like, cool, thanks. Thanks for backing me up. So I cut out the silences. That's not a big deal. But it's more like when I'm like, you know, that sort of thing. And I'll probably cut, no, I'll leave that in. But it's that moment where I'm like, I'm struggling to, like, I have a thought process, but putting that fluidly, my brain does not do that, like, on the fly very well. Like, I'd be a terrible public speaker if I didn't have some, you know, bullet points. Because literally, we don't prepare for this fucking show.
No, we don't. Absolutely not.
We get here and we're like, all right, what are we doing?
And there's been a few times I've had some notes on things I want to touch on, but
I work best under pressure.
Yeah. I did do a lot of research on the Keystone Pipeline, because that's a lot of things that we're going to get into with some of the topics. So I'm going to have some of those stats. But if I don't have that prepared beforehand, fucking, I'm terrible. I'm awful. So, and it might be even worse because, oh my God, I found this glorious can at the liquor store I go to. And this is the Monday Night Brewing out of Atlanta. And it's got some great art on it. It's called Dark Subject Matter. It's an Imperial Stout with vanilla beans. But I also have the Sweetwater Blue with me because this bitch is 12%. So, like, I can only have one of these. And it looks fucking dark as shit. So, I don't know. And you still have the, what is that
Sweet
again?
Sweet Baby Chai.
What'd you get, Sam?
I got the Vanilla Porter Breckenridge.
That one's nice. I've had that one before. That's like a, you can get that at a grocery store sort of thing.
I did. I had two.
No more $25 can, Sam?
No, it looks like I should have bought what you have. That looks like there's some bang for your buck there.
Yeah. You know what? It's over at Middlebrook Park Liquor Store. They have a section. There's a certain refrigerated section that they kind of swap beers in and out, so it does change. So that's where I can find, you know, things that I hadn't seen before. This is one that I'd never seen before, so I swept them, grabbed it, and let's see how it goes.
Did you see that huge convoy?
I did not see the huge convoy. I drove. It's funny because I drove to Athens and I texted you because I hadn't read the family chat. And there were a bunch of fucking people standing on the Bridgewater. No, it was the
Walker Springs.
Walker Springs Bridge. I'm like, what the fuck? Is there a fucking convoy coming through? So I messaged you and you're like, yeah,
convoy.
They're coming through.
Convoy. So then you let me know that they were on the bridge. So
yeah, so
I
thought they were coming from
there
Nashville, but they were coming from Chattanooga, or they thought. So either they were wrong and they were at a wrong bridge, or they were not. So I don't know where they were coming from.
I think they were coming from Nashville.
This wasn't the people's convoy, though, was it? This was a much smaller thing.
So they came from different directions, you know. This particular one that came through, it was like they were heading to the meeting ground in, what fucking city was that? The one that wasn't really prepared for. So they were, like, meeting up with the main convoy in Hagerstown. That's where all of them ended up, like, by Friday, Saturday. But they passed through here Tuesday, and it was just four semis.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, some personal vehicles. I know because I went on a suicide mission on Friday. So
you said Tuesday, but they came through on Friday, right? That's when you went through, and they said that's why they stopped at
Strawberry Plains. Yeah, that was Friday, wasn't it?
I think that was Friday. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I got done working, and I was like, ooh, they're still out in Straw Plains.
There weren't that many people there.
Well, I mean, there were probably, I'd say 50, 60 people there, which was, I mean, this was at the fucking gas station. And they were all gathered around there. I decided to go walk around filming. I went live because, like, if anybody fucking killed me, I wanted evidence of it. So maybe there'd be some kind of justice for them. But no, It's funny because they didn't even notice me for the most part.
You're very small.
I am small, but I have a fucking red resist fist tattooed on my forearm. You got called out on that, though. Yeah, only one person, though. And,
but most of the vehicles were just kind of like local and local. Yeah, they were just... They were not even part of this.
No. I went around and looked at the tags on all the personal vehicles, and most of them were Knox County or neighboring counties. They were just people meeting the Ford truckers. Four. There was one RV, too.
You gotta imagine, so, there, like I told you, there was the Loudoun Bridge is an exit 8081 off of 40 going towards Chattanooga. They had a lot more fucking people than the Walker Springs Bridge, as one might expect. But you gotta imagine, like, they're all lined up waiting to see this convoy, and it's, like, literally four trucks. Mm. But they're there to support him, damn it.
I cheered about it. We talked about, like, bannering or something, and, like, I knew people in Memphis who were kind of keeping an eye on it, and they're like, "Yeah, there's three trucks." I'm like, "Okay, they could pick up a few between here and there in Knoxville." It's like, so top six trucks. We finally decided, oh, that kind of legitimizes them if we protest them in any way. I'm like, I don't want to do that. But yeah, there's 60 people who threw them a little party. They had a stage Aww. Set up with a speaker talking about Christopher the Constitution fascism. And Jesus.
Yeah, so Sam, that link you sent for the Channel 5 YouTube channel, he interviewed a lot of people, and my God, the level of like Christian intermingling of their views.
It's Christian nationalism.
Was
that's
insane.
What's rooting it's all of fascism. This. Yeah, that's what all of this is, like, the entire convoy, all of this critical race theory, all of it is Christian nationalism, which is fascism.
And what's funny, because one of them he was talking to, and I don't know how he kept a straight face when she said, and he, talking about God, he's going to come strong on you. He's going to come strong. And I'm like, I don't know how he kept his fucking straight face.
That's why he has the job, because he can do that.
I couldn't do what he did,
God's going to come straight on you hard.
I could. I'd have so much fun. I'd probably, like, I'd keep prodding to get them to talk more.
He does do that. That's why he's great. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But he acts like he kind of agrees with them, so they keep going because they're like,
I could do that. Think about our text conversations when, like...
I don't want to think about those text conversations. Fuck you, Al. But I'm definitely gonna link this YouTube link on our show notes, because I think everyone should at least check it out just to see what the buffoonery that some of these things these people believe. One of my favorite bits from this video, though... It's all deep state shit, right? It's all like they're all against the deep state. This is all Q integrated fucking nonsense. And they were talking about, so a lot of them don't even think that the Ukraine war is real. Yeah. Like they're decrying as a false flag. They still love Putin. Videos. They still love Putin. But one of my favorite videos sections was when it was Putin and Trump, I think Helsinki 2018. And Putin hands him a soccer ball, and dude was claiming that soccer ball was filled with information on the people that they had been tracking. And he tossed him this. I swear to God, it was. I was like, this is straight Q shit. This is straight up Q shit. The deep state shit. There's people there who were who were thinking about JFK Jr. Like it's the views of these people, and none of them. If you watch this, if you go through the whole interview, like, there's no one mindset. Like, you have an anti-cop person was there. You had someone there who was pro-vaccine. Like, their mindset is just insane. One of my other favorite bits is they literally played themselves in terms of they were scared to actually go to D.C.
Well, there was never a set plan.
That's true.
They never had a set plan. If you were in their chats, there was constantly this going back and forth of what is the plan, what are we doing? So they decided to set a stage in Hagerstown, Maryland. And, like, people kept asking, are we going to D.C.? Are we going to D.C.? Like, and no, apparently they were going to go. I don't know if they even made it over to the Beltway. Did they just fucking camp out in Hagerstown all weekend long?
I don't know. I didn't get to finish the video because it was released shortly. It was released shortly before the record today, so I didn't finish. By the time I got to the point in the video, they were still in Hagerstown. And they had no plan. They were saying there were security concerns, and they'd be planning for 3 to 4 more hours, so I haven't got to see the...
They were too scared to go to D.C.
Yeah, so here the point of that was, it's two-pronged. The first one is they so believe that the January 6th event was infiltrated by buses of Antifa.
Or FBI.
Or FBI, but they were specifically mentioned Antifa. And they were afraid of that happening again, and so they avoided D.C. for that reason. So they literally played themselves.
Wait, can we not go to Hagerstown? We knew where they were.
I don't try to logic this, Al.
Go to D.C., then we'll all become Antifa.
Like, if Antifa wanted to infiltrate and cause some shit, we could have gone to
Maryland. They think there's like some magic, within D.C., apparently. I don't
Magic
know.
Buses appear.
But they literally played themselves. They scared themselves with their own fake shit to keep them out of D.C. And there was also something about, like, they were worried that Pelosi would try to set them up for something as well. So my favorite part was their own conspiracy theories kept them from even doing anything other than grifting from fucking Q right-wing GOPers that were supporting the movement to pay for the fuel, which is fucking super high right now due to the conflict.
All this is really...
War, like, sorry, fuck it. It's fucking war and invasion. I'm not going to call it a conflict.
They just pat themselves on the back. That's all this really is, right? They just can, like, talk to fellow nutcases and pat themselves on the back.
100%, because the interviewer, what's his name, Andrew? Is his name?
Yeah.
So Andrew stopped him. He's like, well, are you... He mentioned, like, well, our goal isn't to block traffic. He's like, well, isn't the whole idea is to get, you know... To get noticed and recognition is to block traffic to have an effect. He's like, well, we don't want to do that. I'm like, you're literally just doing nothing then except parading yourselves.
It was a fucking barbecue. They all showed up for a fucking barbecue.
And it's... And that's... Really a very expensive carbon fuel burning
right, so,
barbecue.
It turns out, like, one organization... I didn't think we were going to get into this, so I don't have it pulled up or anything. But one organization was doing a lot of the fundraising, saying that they would be doing the supporting the gas for all these truckers. And it turns out that, like, just last year, one of the main people involved in the organization pled guilty for fraud or was found guilty for fraud. And so, like, they're throwing these money at people who have a history of stealing fucking money.
I mean, it's kind of the GOP way. It's the easiest fucking people to grift. It always has been.
It is.
It was insane. They had fireworks and shit, but it comes at a time when literally the whole point was the medical tyranny, but aren't like restrictions and mandates being lifted across the nation?
They were protesting mandates that like don't really even exist anymore.
Yeah.
Like,
it's not, yeah, like I said, it's not about that. It's about them patting themselves on the back and talking. It's just a convention. It's more of a convention. It's a Q convention.
It was a fucking barbecue.
It's a traveling Q convention where they get to meet fellow nutcases and they get to suck each other off.
So one of the things they were also bitching about, and I got this tying into the research I did, was about they're like, open the pipeline, talking about the Keystone XL pipeline. There's been a lot of talk about that with all the rising gas prices and a lot of disinformation. And
because they are so stupid, they have no idea how gas prices fucking work, and they're just fucking tools of...
The Keystone Pipeline wasn't even going to give us oil, wasn't it? All
no, so
they don't understand it at all.
There's many things to it, and I'm going to go into it. But the most more important part is that even if it was built, or if the project was never canceled,
it wouldn't be complete,
been finished yet.
Yeah, no, we wouldn't have it right now.
It wouldn't even be finished right now. So it's a fucking moot argument.
Even if it was finished, it still would not really change.
It would actually, so I'll get into it. So, but the big issue with the Keystone XL pipeline is that it's transmitting what's called tar sands oil. Tar sands oil is some nasty fucking stuff, and it comes from underneath the ground in forests. And so they have to fuck up a lot of the area. It is terrible for nature to even get this stuff. It costs 3 to 4 more times the carbon to even process it. And then when it's actually burned, it has an environmental impact of 5 to 17% more than standard crude. So it's nasty shit. And because it's acidic, it's a lot thicker. They have it's 3 times more likely to cause a leak per mile than crude. And the problem, and because it's thicker and more acidic, it will fuck up the environment even harder than traditional crude. So it's a terrible fucking product. It's terrible for the environment. And the majority, and it, even if it was built and it was moving comes from Canada, the majority of it would have been exported. It was not for the U.S. And yeah. A lot of experts said, even if it was built, it was in process. The process it being alone would have raised gas prices by how the market works. The misinformation about this pipeline would have, no. We're actually, the U.S. is producing records amounts of oil right now compared to even during the Trump administration.
But most of our oil we don't actually use. We export a lot of it, don't we?
Yeah, we also import about 6.5 million barrels, I think, per X, and then we generate 11.6 million.
Sure, I'm glad I was born during the days of oil, a finite resource that will eventually disappear.
Yeah, but all these people are fighting against electric vehicles. You know, they get the fucking those assholes that like take their big ass trucks and block fucking EV charging ports.
Empty those people's heads every fucking time I see them.
Yeah, it's so the Keystone Pipeline is a terrible for the environment, and not only just even getting it fucks it up. Producing it fucks up the environment, and it's just worse overall. And it would not benefit the U.S. whatsoever. But they're latching onto this idea that they're trying to blame everything on Biden, and this is one of the ways they're doing it, because Biden obviously halted the permit for it, which caused the project manager to cancel the whole project. It's just one of the facets of the whole Biden causing the gas increase, because when we banned the import of Russia, Republicans and Democrats, there was a bipartisan support for that. But immediately afterwards, the GOP are going to latch on to Biden is causing this rise in gas prices to affect the next election.
I mean, yeah, because people are fucking stupid. They're fucking tools. They're just, like I said, they're fascist pawns. They're not really real people. They don't have information. They don't process information. They just...
Has anybody watched Tucker Carlson? What's he say about this?
Oh, no, he says this exact thing.
Basically, he's saying this thing. He's saying that he's not supporting the Russian ban on oil because of the increased fuel costs, because of the global market.
Which is not how it works.
Right.
But that's how they want their people to think. He knows that's fake. But he's trying to make sure that his people think that's real.
You know, gas prices started going up a lot last year.
In the last 2 weeks.
And even in the last weeks. But it started going up even in 2021 because when, you know...
Because it went people down started traveling so...
More. It went down so much.
So much during 2020 because there was a pandemic. So our gas prices dropped a good bit. And then they went up to about what they were pre-pandemic. May have been a little bit higher, but not much higher. And then the last 2 weeks, it started, like, skyrocketing. Yeah. It was slowly inching up. I think where I went to get gas, it usually is around 280-something, and I saw it go to, like, 223 or 323.
Yeah.
So it did go up some. But
around here, it's around 412 is when it's been up to. But that's the whole goal of the GOP is to continually shift the blame on Biden when it's actually the big oil companies that profited last year alone $75 billion.
I think there's not a supply and demand issue right now for them to even be raising the gas prices, because you're not like the first day when Russia Ukraine shit happened. I saw lines at the gas station, but it didn't sell out. And then now the gas stations look exactly the fucking same as they did before. There's not this high demand for it. And like, yeah, I think the gas companies are raising the prices somewhat unnecessarily.
Oh yeah. They're definitely picking back off this, what's called a windfall, which is why some people are supporting what's called a windfall tax, which is when they generate massive amounts of revenue because of unforeseen situations, such as a fucking war in Ukraine, for instance. Then we tax those extra profits at a much higher rate to offset that and, you know, get the money back into the American pockets. But the another thing is that Jen Psaki, the press secretary, pointed out that there are 9,000 approved permits and drill site locations that are not being accessed and drilled into. So these companies have that. They have the permits. They don't need anything else from the Biden administration to go in and access those reserves. They're just simply not doing it.
Because they don't need it.
Yeah, they don't. Because
there's not a supply issue.
Right.
If there was a supply issue, they'd be tapping into that. There's not a fucking supply issue. These fucking corporations are just fucking greedy. And they know that fucking people will believe, oh, there's a shortage issue and we have to raise prices. And
no, they're offsetting their cost of cutting of because they were the first to actually cut off from Russia before even U.S. before Biden did a ban. There are three major oil companies here in the U.S. that just stopped. Shell was one of them. And then they knew that they were going to lose a lot of revenue because of that. And so to offset that revenue, instead of tapping into the $75 billion fucking that they earned last year, they increased prices here in the U.S. to simply offset that. So they don't not only A, lose money, but then B...
So it's not a supply and demand in any way, shape, or form.
No. It's just simply, it's simply them
being greedy fucking bastards. Yes.
And, but the average American, I'm going to say not the average American, your average Republican, your average, and I've even seen some centrists and some, you know, Democrats, I don't know about liberals, but they're blaming, they don't know who to blame. They don't know anything about none of the right know about the fucking Keystone or anything like that. They're all about, they think the pipeline is the sole survivor.
You can tell them, like, I was reading a thread the other day where everybody is explaining it to a right winger. And he's still, like, doubling down, going to more comments, saying it's because of Keystone. And people are going to those comments and saying, no, we explained this to you. And then he jumps to another comment. And he's like,
this is what I mean by they're not people. That's not a person. That's a tool. He's a tool. They're tools for fascism.
They just do
what their barking orders tell them to do.
Yeah, they repeat
they
the same fucking shit.
They repeat them.
It doesn't matter what evidence you provide them to show them that they're wrong about something. They'll keep fucking repeating it.
All the information I got on the Keystone Pipeline was one Google search, which pulled up the National Resource Defense Council. They work to safeguard the Earth, people, plants. They are a pro-climate
organization. Fake news.
To them, I think
fake
it is.
News.
To them, I think it is fake news. But it took a Google search to find out what the purpose of the
That's your issue. You're going to Google.
Oh, is that what it is?
I need to hop on.
You need to get on Truth.
Hey, you got on Truth.
I got on Truth. Yes.
I didn't get my invite yet. I was so pissy. I went to go open mine, and I'm still at 483-772.
Yeah, my number never changed, but I eventually made it on.
What was the thing that in the video somebody else was saying something that wasn't Truth? Another thing where they're like, "What can you say on it?" And she just like says a bunch of racial slurs.
Oh yeah. So she was talking about Gab. Oh my God. He's trying to get someone on Gab. He's like, "What's Gab?" And it's like, "Oh, you can go there and you know you have free speech." It's like, "Well, what can you say on Gab that you can't say on this?" And oh my God, she dropped the heart in. She went through every fucking.
She went through all the racial
my God.
Slurs.
She went through all the racial slurs. Like,
you can say anything you want, like this. What I've been really wanting to say
is insane. That video, that whole YouTube. I don't know how he's a better person than I. I could not listen to those people. And then not want to go shoot myself. Oh, there was one guy he interviewed. I'm not going to spoil the whole fucking video for those who still watch it. But there was one guy who was apparently at the January 6th, and he was there with a shield and shit. Okay. And he was like, "So what do you think's in these trucks?" And the Andrew's like, "Merch. Like they're selling like flags and hats." He's like, "Well, I hope it's metal." He's like, "Metal, you know?" And he does like a gun motion. Like he hopes these are just loading in trucks full of fucking guns and weapons to go to D.C.
Okay. Well, maybe that's why they backed off of D.C.
So Truth looks just like Twitter.
It's exactly like
Twitter.
Well, it wasn't Parler as well, though?
No, it looked a little bit different.
No. They literally replaced the word tweet.
With truth.
That's no other fucking difference. So I saw you in your screenshot, you followed at least 9 people already?
You should say.
Yeah, so when you get it on, you have to follow 2 people to move forward.
I'm going to have you send me a list, because I don't know how, I see.
It suggests it. It gives you suggestions. Oh, and guess what the very first one is?
Is it going to be Trump?
It's going to be Donald Trump.
Okay.
And then the only one, I just went through and... followed things I recognized from their suggested one. And then I went and looked up Ben Shapiro. Andy Ngo's not on there yet.
He's still on a wait list.
he may have an Android.
Okay,
he's not available.
Right. It's only iPhone right now.
If you want to get some followers, just say Truth Check and then say every racial slur you can think of and send that, and you'll get tons of followers.
Yeah.
A lot of people on Truth had already been banned. I know we mentioned it the last time, but that was over 2 weeks ago because it took us that long. Like, literally today, this is over over two weeks from when we signed up. This is, the launch has been a complete shit show. Is Trump still at Real Donald, or did he to mimic his Twitter handle?
I believe so. Let me double check.
I'm just curious. But because I've never, so unlike you, Al, I don't have sock accounts and monitor this shit, but this was too good to fucking pass up. This truth thing was just too fucking good. I had to hop on. I'm too scared to get on Telegram because I don't want, I just don't have the fucking time to do it. It's just my morbid curiosity.
The Real Donald Trump and the Real Donald, or Donald Trump Official.
Oh, so he changed it up. Okay. So it's not at Real.
I don't think the Donald J. Trump official burner account for POTUS 45 and 47.
45 and 47.
But that's
the burner account.
It looked like it had the check mark, but they just cropped out the Real Donald Trump's profile picture to include the check mark. Then uploaded that as their profile picture.
And not banned. Yeah. Jesus Christ. So, but see, because on Telegram, like, you know, they push messages, and I didn't want to deal with that shit where I could just hop on if I'm so inclined just to see what's going on Truth, just to see. I don't know how long I'll keep it.
Trump has 374,000 followers.
The rest are waitlisted.
But he's not even on yet. The only thing that's posted is, get ready, your favorite president will see you soon, 3 weeks ago.
Oh,
so that's the that has to be the total number that's on the site, period, because
yeah, well, probably, yeah,
him.
Because you, when you,
you have to add him.
You don't have
he's
to,
the
but
the
it's
Tom.
The
he's,
top
he's,
one.
There's no MySpace Tom.
But
who is going to get on that? Who actually wants to get on that? And is like, you know what? I don't want to hear what he has to say. Like, obviously, I think that number is more realistic. Who the fuck is on there?
Right, it probably is. Yeah,
it's like the Tom on MySpace. Like, you automatically become a friend with fucking Donald Trump when you join in.
Tom was the most unproblematic guy, though.
yeah, miss Tom.
I mean, he created it and then fucking sold it for a nice little chunk.
Now it's completely gone, so...
Didn't Timberlake buy that shit up or something at a huge loss or something like that?
I don't know anything about that.
Oh, okay.
It's all gone. Now we just have Facebook. Yay. Can't wait for Meta. Can't wait for the Meta space.
No, I'm not ready to do my avatar. I still haven't gone to fucking VR chat. I know... Just cause
that's
I,
gonna you need to see what the real Facebook VR is like, the most cleaned up thing. Your avatar like has to look like a Wii Me from 2006. It looks like that, you know, there's just no furry titty porn. And that's
why even get on?
That's going to be its downfall.
Why even get on at this point if
exactly.
There's no furry titty porn, Sam?
But because your work is going to make you, because Facebook is going to start making these deals with companies where they did the same thing in Second Life, if you remember that. I remember the school I was going to at the time was like, we're going to start having meetings in Second Life. And everyone's like, okay. But
the one thing I'm grateful for is our company doesn't do fucking social media, period. We don't have a Twitter, Facebook. We don't do any of that shit.
Kyle Rittenhouse has 129,000 followers.
He'll have 129,001 when I follow him. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to follow that fucking
yeah, what
piece
does he
of
say?
Shit.
What does he post about? Is it a picture of his cats? I hope he's cute kitties.
No. Kyle Rittenhouse is on his way to Ukraine to defend the businesses over there.
Yeah, I wish.
No. He's posting his interviews with One American News Network. He's fucking promoting himself. That's all he's fucking doing. He's sharing his interviews.
He's building
shit.
A brand.
He's sharing Ukraine. He shared Babylon Bee's Ukraine invites Kyle Rittenhouse to guard their borders.
So he's making fun of himself.
So no pictures of cats, huh? No.
No.
Severely disappointed. That's why this is going to fail. You know, there's no pictures of cats. At least Facebook
and
Twitter
have pictures
of cats. So
wait, didn't he say that he like supported Black Lives Matter?
He did, yes.
Because
in an interview on Fox, he said that
he went on the front lines and denounced BLM.
Well, yeah. No, he said it just to get clout after the acquittal.
He's also suing LeBron James.
Yes, that's right. What a tragic, tragic individual, and still arguably one of the most punchable faces in the history of mankind.
Stompable, yeah.
Says that I mispronounced things. The my ADHD brain mispronounced stompable face.
Stompable face.
Yeah. Oh my god. All right, I'm following that son of a bitch.
Oh, well, reporting because I won't
send me his cat pic when he sends it. I was this close to making a good segue when you mentioned up banks. We're going to talk about banks in the other sense with Ryan Coogler.
Yeah. Let's do that before we get into the local fuckery.
ACAB?
No. No, let's do this as an early ACAB and make it ACAB.
Yeah, this is ACAB of the week. So Ryan Coogler... And we're just now learning about this. Apparently this happened early in January 22nd, I think. But the video, I think it was just finally being released by the police department. So he goes inside a Bank of America to do a withdrawal of funds. He was withdrawing $12,000 from his account. And he goes to the teller and he hands them a note that says, I'd like to draw $12,000 from my account. And he requests it not to be ran to the money counter in the front because it's, you know, a somewhat large sum of currency. He doesn't want public eyes seeing this large currency being counted in front of them and then being handed to him. Totally understandable. When he handed them that note, he also handed in his bank card and his ID. Mm-hmm. Okay, so no robber would hand a note over demanding money, leaving an account card and their ID. That's just not a fucking thing that happens. In any event, the teller, pulls up the account, and there's an alert on the account. I'm in banking. That's not uncommon. We have account alerts all the time for if someone's identification was stolen, we have to, you know, be extra diligent. Sometimes we have to ask for passwords. There's going to be any number of things. Any number of things could be on this alert. They didn't mention what the alert was. It's kind of irrelevant because they have his ID. They have his account card. They know that he is potentially the account holder. But instead, they call the manager over and decide this is a good time to go ahead and call the police because he's trying to rob the bank. I don't know what world this teller or manager live in.
There's a black man asking me for money.
That's basically it because...
A large sum of money. Well, it's not even that large.
That's
but
not that large. That's like tax season withdrawal. I'm not going to lie.
When's the last time a bank... someone robbed a bank and was like, give me this very specific... I'm robbing this bank for a very specific amount of money.
By the way, here's also my ID and my account number because I bank with you while you have all of my information. So that's not a thing. It's entirely indefensible, the bank teller because if there's an alert on an account that says that, you know, that the only thing I can think of that they think that they're being robbed is they think that this is not the person in front of them, but there are identifying questions that they can ask this individual to ascertain the true identity because there's things that the account holder would know, such as a personal identification number, a private access number, any number of things. But there is no, like, again, I'm in banking. There has been no instance where someone came up with their ID and I'm like asking for a withdrawal and I'm like, I better call the police. That's not a fucking thing. And then, so the police come and, I mean, draws his fucking weapon. Like when he's
one
just standing there.
One quickly draws his weapon and puts it back. Like it said, it was like a quick
thing. Did you watch the video?
I didn't.
So it was out. And then it was out for a few seconds. Then he put it back in to apprehend. So he never pointed it. It never left. So I'm not entirely faulting that police officer.
He shouldn't have drawn his gun.
Yeah,
I just don't want like the impression that he pointed the gun at him or anything like that. No, he pulled it out. He probably realized, I don't need this, and put it back in.
It really is.
Yes, it is.
So pulling it out of your holster is more than a threat.
Yes, yes.
It doesn't matter if you pointed it
or not. But the only say I don't I fault him for pulling the gun out, but the cops are there. They are told that that there's an active robbery. So that's what they think is going on. Obviously, it was a real quick turnaround. But you know, I don't understand. Like, there's a man who's clearly unarmed. His hands were out, and
there's a black man asking for money.
Yeah,
to get violent.
Yeah, he had a mask on, but I don't know. I as a banker, it's just how many times do people call police on black people for just existing?
A lot.
I mean, it happens a lot. There was no. I mean, it's usually white little Karen that does it, or. I don't know in this situation.
This is the director of Black Panther.
Yeah, this is, and so he pulls out his, like, I guess he had a badge. He says, if you look this, you'll understand why.
No, he told him, he's like, do a search on me and you'll understand.
Yeah, do a search on me.
He's like, just do a Google search.
Yeah.
And I guess they did that and they're like, oh shit.
Well, like I was saying in our group chat, hope, man, the next Black Panther movie is not going to be so fucking centrist. It's the most political Marvel movie it is, and it has a very centrist message of, whoa. Don't go too far. Don't go too far trying to change things now.
Well, it was Disney, so what do you expect?
Oh, that's a good segue into the other Disney story.
This one, I'm actually going to call this up because I want to read a portion of the statement from the Pixar employees, because I think it sends a very clear message, and it's towards the bottom of the article, so you have to let me get to it. Here we go. So the main of the story is that the employees of Pixar and Disney are alleging that Disney corporate is wiping any like pro LGBTQIA+ things that they send up. So I'm going to read this statement, and it's because they've also been trying to push Disney, who has offices, obviously a very big office and presence in Florida, to condone this don't say gay bill that was just passed by the House and Senate recently. And I don't know if DeSantis has signed it yet. But they're pushing Disney to decry it. Now, you and I, Sam, you and I have bitched about, probably all of us have bitched about Disney being, like, anti-gay because of China and bowing down to China.
Yeah. It's part of their business to be anti-gay.
So, but they've intervened before. So this is part of the statement. In 2016, Disney told the state of Georgia, "We will plan to take our business elsewhere should any legislation allowing discriminatory practices be signed into law," in response to a controversial religious liberty bill. By taking a stand, Disney directly affected the legislative outcome in Georgia. It has been proven that Disney's corporate statement can and do make a difference. "We come to a push for content as the answer. We at Pixar have personally witnessed beautiful stories full of diverse characters come back from Disney corporate reviews shaved down to the crumbs of what they once were. Nearly every moment of overtly gay affection is cut at Disney's behest, regardless of when there is protest from both the creative team and executive leadership at Pixar. Even if creating LGBTQIA content was the answer to fixing the discriminatory legislation in the world, we are being barred from creating it. Beyond the inspiring content that we aren't even allowed to create, we require action." So they're calling on Disney leadership to immediately withdraw all financial support from the legislators behind the public the Don't Say Gay bill, and to fully denounce this legislation publicly, and to make amends for their financial involvement. And there's some more stuff going on there. Because Disney has, when they produce that content, you know, imagine, you know, you're a young, you know, queer child, and you now you see yourself represented.
They'll never do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate Disney. I am baffled when I find adults that like Disney. Like, they're fucking children. I think it's, and I think Disney
I have a love-hate relationship.
Well,
with
you
Disney.
Need to turn it into a little more hate, because there is nothing to fucking love there at Disney.
Yeah, I love the Disney artists. I hate Disney corporate, because the Disney artists do really create. Lin-Manuel Miranda is not Disney. But
I used to want to be
fuck
a
him
Disney
too. He's a centrist
artist.
Piece of shit. Lin-Manuel Miranda is a centrist piece of shit. Like, what? He's also one of those very centrist people that make very centrist stories. Like, I don't like him either. Like,
there's also, like, the art.
There's other good art out there.
There is other good art that actually has messages
in them, because it's out there. You don't have to get half-assed art from Disney, because there's actual real art out there that has actual fucking messages to say.
I will fight you on this. I think he's a brilliant creator when it comes to the original songs he makes.
Sure, he can make some good songs, but I don't like him from a political standpoint, because he's a centrist, and everything he says and makes has a centrist message.
But, like, if I'd be giving up a whole lot of art if I just...
Sure.
Because if, like,
but,
you know, they're centrist, so I can't like that. Like,
I'm not saying that.
There is a point of separating the art and, like...
But...
I try to limit
how much money I give Disney. Disney stuff is very shallow. Disney's... I'm saying that physically, sure, it can look good, but their messages are very
shallow. Have you seen it on acid, though?
I watch other shit on acid.
But I think the point here is that you know, if Disney corporate would allow that content, I think it would change the conversation more, because it is a very popular fucking medium.
We are going to have to go to other places for this content. That's the point. We can't expect Disney to change. The other side of that story...
I think we should expect Disney to change, is my point.
I think we
point.
Should,
I think
yeah.
we should abandon Disney. I think that they are a mega corporation, and they're really fucking scary. They're really fucking scary.
They are. I'm not arguing any of this.
A mega corporation is trying to own people's childhoods. That's the point of Disney. I own your childhood. I own all your happy memories. I am your past.
Didn't I had some wonderfully happy memories at Disney World.
Exactly.
Didn't they try to trademark something like that was so it, fucking
for Coco? They tried to trademark the Day of the Dead for fucking Coco.
Then there was something else they did that was like.
But
what the
I
fuck
mean,
are you doing?
How many companies have done shit like that? That's not.
It's not
okay.
New.
So Disney has eaten all these other studios, all these uh-huh. other studios that make good movies.
So
or have been
like
eaten by Disney,
Walmart,
and then as soon, and as,
Amazon
soon as, and as soon as they end that, Amazon makes good movies. See, that's the thing. That's the difference here. Disney absorbs all these other companies and then puts rules what we're talking about. Amazon absorbs other companies and lets them make good shit with actual messages. The fact when Disney eats shit is they censor things. Sure, you can talk about other companies eating shit, but when they make their fucking movies, they let them have some political messages, they let them have gay content, but when Disney eats a company, they make sure they scrub it. That's why that's fucking scary.
And that's why these employees are pushing out, because their artists are wanting to put, they're wanting to create this, this is like, here's what we've created, and they send it up to Disney for the review, and they're like, yeah, there's way too much gay, we don't want that. And I think, but I'm they're scary and they're too large, but because they do exist, I think we should put more pressure on them to change. Now, will they because of China? Probably fucking not. There was instance.
The pressure should come from stop watching fucking Disney and watch better fucking content. That's the real pressure. Watch better content. It is out there. I can fucking send it to you. You don't have to put pressure on Disney by watching good shit.
Ask me the last time I paid for a Disney movie.
Exactly.
Sam. So
that's the thing. Like, if we're throwing a shitload of money their direction, yeah, I could see that being an issue, but
you're talking
and I mean
about
there are times
the
I have
you're
like
saying,
I
you're
like
saying
I said,
that it doesn't if you say like you're still promoting Encanto or other stuff like they still are a political force that was the other side of the story is that they give money to anti-gay politicians.
They are
bankrolling these bills.
And it's not just them. There's a litany of people that somebody actually
but if you're not giving them the money
there's a lot deeper stuff that goes on with even supporting things and being like, I like this Disney movie or something. Like,
no.
I even give stuff like, hey, I watched Encanto and I had my own problems with the movie. I thought it was okay, but I wasn't blown away with it.
No,
I'll still watch something on its own merits,
but
that's my point. Even on their own merits, they're not as high as people think they are.
The issue is not just them. There was someone did a supercut of all the people supporting Pride last year, and then showing the donations that they gave to the representatives who were pushing this Don't Say Gay bill in Florida. So it's, you know, it's on one face. Like, look, we support Pride, but we're going to funnel money to these people.
Well,
that
gets into this whole fucking, like, the rainbow capitalism, which is problematic.
They
do
the same
around.
Thing during Black History Month.
But all of it, yeah. Like, all of these corporations doing the Pride Month in June, or Pride Flag everywhere in June. Like,
the thing about
a
Disney,
lot of them are problematic to the queer community, too. I mean, it's just
they're
a lot. You know, like,
because their donations, you have to search for those, while they can publicly and advertise their support, you know, for Pride and this and that. The money that they funnel into politicians isn't as public because they don't have to advertise that shit. So they can still push for people that would support their agenda and their business to be, you know, through capitalistic fucking votes and gains and shit.
The thing about
COVID kind of killed Pride here in Knoxville. And what happened last year is South Knoxville got together and like local businesses decided to do a little small Pride festival where they opened their doors and had things going on. And I think that is absolutely fucking beautiful because it didn't have as much of the corporate sponsorship We didn't walk around seeing Walmart fucking tables and, like, car dealerships.
Do you think Walmart forced those people to be there?
No, I think there's people that are happily... They have Walmart employees because they got paid.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they were getting paid to be there. Okay, that makes sense.
And, yeah, so they were like, fuck yeah, I'll go work Pride. Because Walmart has a lot of queer employees. But, like Whirlpool's out there. I know all these companies that are out there every year. And, like, at least, like, the Southside Pride, it seemed more locally focused. And, like, local businesses going out to Pride, I don't have an issue with that. That's fine. You know, I'm cool with local businesses supporting stuff, but the corporations, I don't think they have any business. It's like fucking cops. Cops don't have any business at Pride. Either does corporate fucking America.
So the problem with Disney is a lot larger because they control culture. A majority of, like, movie profits are Disney because they own so much stuff. They have Marvel, Star Wars.
I don't watch either of those.
They're animated stuff. You don't watch anything.
Yeah, so and the course, they, Pixar,
they
and
own
Pixar
culture.
Now.
Like it's more so they have control. They have top control of the culture war.
And that's why I think we have to put more pressure on
and
them
to change that
message.
They have these like light. They have these light things where there was two girls kissing in the background at the end of the Star Wars movie, and they just. They add these little things so they can pat themselves on the back that all the libs out there can be like, sweet, I'm 35 and I love Disney so much and I am cool with that. Pat, pat.
So the closest they actually got to a gay character was Disney and Pixar's Onward.
Eternals was probably the most.
Animated. Yeah, the animated. So it was
Wasn't Luca, like, pretty gay? I don't know.
No, they made sure to make it so it, you know, it could possibly be interpreted, but they made sure like,
well,
to
you
not
know,
be over.
Back in the 90s, we just called that gay because
right.
we didn't
yeah.
have
any. I honestly had the same
That's
thought.
That's 90s gay.
I had the same thought, but they packaged it in a way they could still sell to
there's
China.
Studio Ghibli did the same thing. There's a movie where they make you think that they're lesbians and they're like, oh, I'm actually your great aunt. And like, wait a second.
No,
like,
so it was.
That's what we call 90s gay.
It was a movie
Have
called...
Have you seen Fried Green Tomatoes? Come on.
Yes.
It's 90s gay. Historical friends.
So it's a movie called Onward, Disney and Pixar released in...
I remember that movie.
It released
no,
in...
no, 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 no. All right, I'm gonna have a fact check. I think that's DreamWorks.
No, Disney, don't you fight me on this, Sam. Trust
okay.
me. Don't fight me on animated movies
sure
and Pixar.
Is...
Disney and Pixar released Onward in 2020. And there is one scene where this monster, she says, my girlfriend... does X. And that's the only mention. And
fine, you're right.
It was easy because when it went to other countries, they can easily just dub over it and they use the word partner.
Yeah.
So that was the closest they ever got. And I think if we put pressure, if this gets larger, if you know this letter comes out and this gets shared out enough, if somehow we could put enough pressure, because you said they do control the culture, the content of the movies they get put out. If they can change that message and make it more acceptable, even here in the U.S., I mean, because it's you know, it's becoming more and more successful. But we still live in a world where, or in the U.S., where 41.3% of all LGBTQI+ individuals have considered fucking suicide, and there's another portion of those that do. So I think if we can change the way they craft their message and then make it more
really
where they are, because they're not represented on the fucking screen. By and large, they are not.
They
watch
are,
other. Yeah, okay, like I said, this is my problem.
They can't
with
fucking watch Euphoria,
anyways.
Sam.
That's what my problem.
They're
with too fucking
old.
Movies.
They're too young
There's
for Euphoria.
Other fucking stuff. They're too young. Euphoria has great LGBT.
there are a shitload of LGBT out. Shows that teens
and they're all not
have
fucking
access
Disney
to.
Shows.
I don't know. I still think you know. What was the big one? What's the one? Netflix one? The puberty style animated one.
Big Mouth,
yeah. That's still too. That's like 13,
that's not for
14.
Children.
It's not for children.
No.
I'm talking about like 6 to, you know, 8-year-old, 8 to 9-year-old range appropriate sort of content. That doesn't really exist that I'm aware of. You know,
maybe not at that age. There's teenage content. But I don't know. I mean, what was it Adventure Time maybe?
I don't have
Adventure
a child, so
Adventure,
I don't watch
Adventure Time and what's the other one? Steven Universe. That's pretty queer.
And we actually like took a break for me to call my kid who said the Owl House is a really good one.
You have your own house.
Yeah.
So they got about
She-Ra
four
is
queer,
one you mentioned as well?
Yeah, She-Ra. There's about 4 kid-friendly shows that are queer. and they're all not Disney.
Well, of course they couldn't be Disney because Disney can't package it and sell it to all these other countries.
Disney has to please everybody, and that includes conservatives, and that includes China.
It's mainly China, I think, is their biggest consumption.
I think it's conservatives, too. They want, their, they want conservatives to be friendly.
Conservatives were supposed to boycott Disney, like, fucking forever ago.
They got mad because there was the, there was a suggestion that Elsa and the Frozen franchise was...
Disney hosts a pride every year, and, like, has been for quite a while.
So this letter that they released actually showed the slow response. It's a very long, statement, so I didn't read the whole thing. But they showed that how it, they didn't even have like queer merch, like pins, even until 2019 or 2021. So they are well, they have always been behind the curve in supporting the gay community.
But they before 2019, they had like once a year the queer community. Took over their park. Because, I mean, the queer community likes Disney. As much as, like, Disney may not like them, but the queer community likes Disney?
I watched a video on this. You know about queer coding? Especially in media.
Yeah.
You know, you couldn't actually be gay, so characters had to be queer coded. A lot of the Disney villains are queer coded, which also feeds into anti-queer stuff. But queer people latched onto that. A lot of the villains, a lot of those classic Disney villains are queer coded. Like Ursula,
I'm running
Scar,
them through my head right now, and he's not wrong.
All the villains
are
queer coded.
What's his name? Jabbar from... He's pretty queer.
Queer coding villains, you know, overall can hurt the LGBT community because straight people and other people will be like, oh, if it's gay, they must be evil. There's a lot of anime with queer-coded villains that are evil.
Is that why I always kind of like the bad guys?
Exactly. But then queer people actually latch onto it and they're like, you know what? Maybe I am the bad guy.
So another section here is brief. Monday's email, our unwavering commitment to the LGBTQ plus community rang hollow. It began with the claim that Disney has a long history of supporting the LGBT community, but Disney Parks did not officially host Pride, until 2019 in Paris alone. And this is from the employees of Pixar and Disney that put this joint statement out. So if there were other events before then, it was not officially hosted by Disney. It may have been
Yeah, they had events.
It was third party.
Sure, yeah,
it was third party then.
Yeah, they took over the park at least once a year. No, I remember, like, the kid was a baby, and I remember reading people being pissed off about how many gay people were at the park when they showed up.
But they did start capitalizing on it in 2018 with the Rainbow Mickey collection. So, you know, capitalist is going to do what
until I watch Mickey make out with, like, Goofy for 15 seconds, I don't care.
It's not going
to... I don't give a fuck. Until Mickey is making out with Donald, anybody but Minnie. Minnie needs to make out with Lucy Duck or whatever the fuck her name is.
It's not even that big of a deal anymore. Like, show the shit. Like,
no, it's... Yeah, but they'll still piss off the conservatives because the conservatives think that's why this Don't Say Gay bill even exists, and because they think that even talking about it, discussing it in a classroom setting is going to turn their fucking child gay. So they think that they see these characters on the screen and it's going to turn their child gay.
That was the silly part, like the biggest gay, that's why you're not going to get gay people in the Marvel universe either. The closest they got was in the horrible Eternals movie where
it was awful.
Where they had like a gay couple and they showed them peck each other on the mouth for a minute or hold hands.
Was queerness talked about in school when you guys were?
No, not at all.
No.
Okay. Did you guys go to school with kids that got picked on for being gay?
Yeah.
I do not recall.
Really?
I really don't. Because I was fucking Indiana. Like, I am fucking Indianapolis.
I remember it
queer friends.
As far back.
Come out to me rather early, so.
I remember it as far back as fifth grade when I was in Olathe, Kansas. There was a kid that everybody called gay. But the thing is you know, I did not keep up with anybody from Kansas. But I know the kids in middle school that were called gay. A good majority of them were, in fact, gay. They came out eventually. But, like, you cannot talk about it. And I don't think those kids were gay because they were called gay. They just, people figured out some stereotypes and noticed some behaviors like, I guess more effeminate. That's what it is. Is the guys were more effeminate, and they you know, like as adults, they're gay.
But aside from the experimenting that kids do, I didn't know anyone until high school. I really didn't. Like, there was, it was because. And keep, this is back then when everything was gay. You're gay, that's fucking gay, like everything. So it was so stigmatized that, you know, I don't think, especially where I lived, no one publicly outed themselves. And I didn't. And
these kids weren't outed back then. They didn't out themselves. They were just, because they were effeminate, everybody was just like, you're gay.
Yeah, there was no effeminate in my. And so I went to, again, high school, middle school. And elementary school in Indiana. My freshman year of high school was in a really country ass town that's smaller than anything around here, called Cloverdale. It was a junior / senior high school, so it was just very, very small. Totally, you know, right wing people there, so nothing there.
I know.
Now, high school in San Antonio was a game changer. Obviously, a much larger school.
As a parent, I've been around a lot of fucking kids because I helped. You know, I made friends with kids when the kid was younger, so I can get some adult time while the kid got some play time. I volunteered at the kid's school. I've met a lot of fucking kids. And there are some kids that, like, yeah, you can just kind of tell. And my kid was one of them. Before they knew what gay was, the kid has always had a fucking obsession with boobs.
Everybody has obsession with boobs. That's fine. That means nothing.
I'm already putting money down on which one of my girlfriend's kids is gay, because they are also
like,
with boobs.
There's like, the kid was 4.
Boobs are amazing.
4, and like, already.
That's when you eat your food when you're young.
Yeah, that's
but they had been weaned from the boob for,
but the memory's
over
still
2
there.
Years. No, they're fucking drawing Disney princesses and practicing drawing the boobs. They got the boobs down really early.
That was the first thing they fucking detailed out.
Eyes were first, and then the boobs.
Priorities.
So they like the expression.
My eyes are up here.
Fuck you, Sam. I was going to make that joke. Fuck you. I'm editing you out and I'm putting my joke in instead.
But like, yeah, like, and I remember the first time I was like, oh yeah. We were going through fucking cookout, and the girl at the window, I was like, I like her. The kid was probably 8. And, he's like, why? I was like, well, she was really nice. She had good customer service skills. And I kind of paused, and I was like, she's kind of cute too. And I look in the rearview mirror, and my kid's cheeks were as red as can be. And they go, yeah. like, that was another moment. I'm like, yeah, kid's probably gay.
But I think it would just be more, I think it would be, if Disney could be pressured, I don't think they will, but if they could be pressured, you know, with how popular the movies are, it would, you know, the stigma would be really lessened. And especially in a lot of areas, and especially right areas, it would be lessened because they really have a lot of influence. They literally changed legislation in Georgia by a simple threat.
As someone who likes movies, you can't just start expecting Disney to start making good movies. You just can't do it. They can't do it anymore.
I don't. I'm still going to fight because I do.
So if you want to pressure Disney, go watch some. If you don't like Marvel, watch DC. DC is very gay-friendly. They have a lot of gay characters that are just upfront with it. It's not hidden. It's out there. Like, there are alternatives to Disney that are queer-friendly. So put the pressure on Disney by watching something else, people!
So give us some good replacements for, like, Moana on acid.
There's alternatives.
And that's the thing.
Big budget CGI movies. Disney has the market cornered. No one else can even compete.
They literally
bought all the other studios. They bought Ghibli. They bought the only other best studio out there, Ghibli. They bought Pixar.
Yeah, Pixar was
that's what Disney does. They are a mega corporation. They have something that can compete with them, and they buy it.
All these other shows you talk about, the DC, or I'm sorry, Marvel, fucking Star Wars, all of their live action shit, I don't give a shit about. It's just the animation that, like, and what it is a couple of times a year, now I'll sign up for the Disney Plus fucking cancel right away, and that month I binge watch all the animation I can. And like, so they get like $20-$30 a year for me. That's it.
But they Sam's right. They you know, really have cornered the market in terms of the technology they use to create these stunningly gorgeous fucking scenes.
And
they really truly are. They're
probably
gorgeous.
Keep giving them the $30 to continue seeing that some amazing animation work.
A lot of animation these days doesn't really, they just animate the characters and they make sure the characters look good, but they don't think about the actual, like, cinematography and framing of it. A lot of them don't. Sure, Encanto did. Encanto was pretty. They understood that they need to actually act like cartoon characters.
They did. They actually hired a bunch of dancers. They had a whole crew to like on one of the major scenes.
And they've always, because I remember Lion King. You know, they did all the voice acting
the original,
first.
The,
yeah.
The,
the
oh
original.
My god, the reboot was
not,
trash.
Not the horrible trash. Yeah,
they
reboot.
Did all the. The voice stuff, well, but they recorded all the actors doing it so that they can get those actors'
the other thing
facial
too.
Expressions.
So original Disney, they hired a bunch of Broadway people to do the songs. Guess what the sexual orientation of all the people they hired was?
They were all gay.
That's why original Disney, like Aladdin, Lion King, all of that era of Disney, they were hiring people off Broadway, and all those people were queer and pro-queer people. And that's why the villains are queer-coded, that's why there's queer coding in it, that's why there's in-jokes. You don't have that anymore. They don't go outside. They don't hire people from Disney. Did you know Disney almost went under in the 90s? There was a little time there where they almost went bankrupt. There was a little time, only in the 90s, where they almost went bankrupt and we wouldn't have had any Disney anymore. So sometime between the then and now, they own fucking everything.
What happened?
They had some flops. Some of their animation was flops.
I mean, but what made them rebound and which movies were flops?
So a lot of it has, so first, Lion King in 1994, that was a huge fucking boon for their industry.
It was
one of the highest grossing movies until mid-2000s. With Finding Nemo, maybe one prior to that. I know Shrek did very well. But then when they got partnered with Pixar, now Pixar also almost went under until Steve Jobs kind of got involved in some other things. But once Disney and Pixar joined up, then they just became this powerhouse, and then they've just exploded into the most, the largest, most revenue-generating company that generates film.
They make comfort food. They make a material that won't challenge their viewers, that's easy to digest, that's familiar.
What movies came out after Lion King? Because, like, I'm
Aladdin.
Thinking about Aladdin. It. Aladdin, what about Fox and the Hound?
That would have been before. That'd probably be 92. That
was just
early
90s.
Not early 90s, maybe 91, 92.
Okay, so when did Lion King come out?
94.
Okay. But it seemed like after that is when they were working on, like, the Little Mermaid sequels. And
yeah, that's when they almost went over when they were trying to milk their sequels.
They were doing so many fucking sequels during that time period.
Yeah,
Cinderella
the straight
2,
to DVD
3.
Shit. There was a lot of straight to VHS shit. Sorry. Like Aladdin 2, Aladdin
3. Because my kid...
But that wasn't in the 90s. That wasn't in the 80s, so I'm not sure at the timeline. But
that was... The 90s is when they did all the sequels and shit.
Yeah.
And that's probably what fucking hurt them, is they weren't coming out with real new content. Because, I mean, their storytelling is not... Like, they could do better with the endings. Like, I've heard some critiques on Encanto and the ending. But, like, the storytelling is good, and that's why... People watch it.
I don't know if it was the 90s because in 98 is when Toy Story came out.
But they also steal stuff.
Toy Story was Pixar, right?
Disney and Pixar.
Well, I don't think they didn't buy
it. Pixar
they,
only?
They didn't,
Pixar.
Yeah, Disney hadn't bought them yet. Their storytelling is trite, though. Like, and also they steal stuff. They didn't invent The Lion King.
They didn't invent any of them.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Fucking,
previous Broadway shows or something like that?
Yeah, Lion King
was a
play.
Cinderella, Snow White, all of that, weren't those part of Grimm's fairy tales?
Yeah, exactly. That was Disney's plan to become your childhood.
And then you have Frozen is the Ice Princess. That's a story that was already
created.
They
take things that are public domain and make it so that they own it.
Yeah, that's what they've always done that. Princess and the Frog. Moana is not, like, the whole story with fucking Maui. Like, that's the fucking Hawaiian tales.
I like how Soul was like, look, we're having a movie where it's starring a black man, and now he's a blue blob the whole time.
Something, no, I was going to make that say, fuck you, you're always one step fucking ahead of me, because I was just waiting for my moment to say that they're like, we're going to show a pro-black movie, a show that first was Princess and the Frog, and they turn him into a fucking, this character into another thing, and then they have this, I think Soul is a good movie, but then... You know, it's a black centrist movie, but then the character becomes a middle-aged white woman, voiced by a middle-aged white woman, and he's a blue blob. Like, they can't keep the character a black person throughout the whole movie. Like, I've heard several, controversies regarding that. Like, every time they've had, like, we're going to have a pro-black movie.
They get so fucking close, and then they always drop the ball.
Yeah.
Even and with I mean, Black like, Panther... Like I said, the fucking centrist message of Black Panther, even the Marvel series. Like, that's why I like DC, because DC at least has political commentary that Marvel can't have. You have Suicide Squad with political commentary, the Peacemaker TV show with anti-American commentary, and they made him bi. And even in the new Batman movie, there's a part where he's like, oh, well, that's what happens to criminals. And Catwoman's like, you must be rich under that mask. And he's like, what?
I haven't got a chance to see it yet because I really have a hard time sitting in
a theater for 3 hours.
For 3 hours, I really do.
It's worth it. It's fine.
I mean, I did it through Endgame, I could do it through the Batman, so...
It's a lot better than Endgame, for fuck's sake. Yeah.
It's only in theaters?
Yeah.
As of right now, it's only in theaters.
Yeah, 3 hours is a long time to sit in a theater.
Yeah, I did it through only one of the Lord of the Rings. The others I didn't see in a theater. Yeah. It's hard. It's hard for me.
I did it fucking 15, 20 years ago.
They do. You can't trust people to get. I don't know. They can't trust people.
They when they played Hateful Eight in Knoxville, they had an intermission.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
It'd be nice. I think, especially for a movie for 3 hours long. Like,
yeah.
I mean, when we went to go see Harry Potter in the Knoxville Symphony Orchestra, which I'm super excited about coming up next year, they're doing Jurassic Park, the Knoxville Symphony Orchestra, and so they're playing the movie and then they're doing music. Even then, you know, a 2.5 hour movie, they did an intermission. And I think that's very helpful for long things like that. And they just don't do that anymore. So I find it harder to go sit in a fucking theater for 3 hours.
I see people going to theaters and I just can't. I can't do it.
Theaters are great for the exact reason why you have a hard time watching movies, because you turn your phone off, you put it down, and then it takes up your whole vision.
I don't actually have a problem.
You're not going to the bathroom, you're not
texting people. It's the people. And when we're talking about things like the symphony.
Do not go to the mall to watch movies.
No,
because it has the worst fucking audience.
Don't go to the Cinnabar.
Don't go to the Cinnabar. Literally the worst audience, unless you want to watch people, your neighbors puke while you're watching Jackass. That was fantastic.
I'm sure they added to it.
You do need to go to that to watch Jackass because you want somebody next to you yelling, damn!
God.
People in the audience literally vomiting.
So speaking of Knoxville, let's fucking segue to fucking what pissed me off this week in Knoxville.
The old city needs to change its name. Oh, God, this pisses me off so much. Before we even say what we're talking about,
okay.
I want to say Tuesday night. So we have Atheist Society meetups every Tuesday night at Barley's, which is downtown in the old city. I'm driving down the old city, and I'm just fucking... admiring the architecture and the old architecture. I took last Friday I chaperoned the National Art Society at my kids' school's field trip, which they just walked downtown for First Friday, and I ended up with this kid in my group who's really into architecture, and he walked with me and he pointed out all of this shit on these old ass buildings that I had never seen.
It took me
seen.
A while to notice that shit too.
Yeah,
there's titties on the buildings downtown. That
yeah,
you've never looked down before.
Like if you don't really look at these buildings, and he's just telling me all this different things, pointing out all the architecture, and I really fucking enjoyed that. So this week I'm driving to ask, and I'm just looking at these buildings, kind of in a way that I hadn't before. And, like, this is a beautiful section of town. I love all these old buildings and shit. But they're fucking it all up. They're gonna fucking destroy it.
Yeah, so being built right now, and it's been in for a while now, is I finally looked up, and when we're out there, we're at the meetup, and we go outside to vape, or when we were outside dining, we're looking at this layout and seeing how this thing has very few fucking windows. And we've always been curious, like, what the floor plans look like. So I finally got to Googling search today. And
there's only one window in them.
There's only one section of windows in each of these places. So, like, there are rooms that just don't have it. And it's called the Starkyard Lofts. And it's a fucking cookie-cutter fucking place. The kind of, like, other lofts that have been popping up. And it's gonna fuck things up already. And now, just on the other side. So that's directly right next to the Barley's. Now, on the other side of Barley's, a $22 million fucking, like, hotel, multi-story, right next to the bridge where the free parking is going to be built.
So our free parking is about to.
Yeah, they're about to.
And then next to that, and then the stadium's going to be next to that. So like
the Randy Boyd money laundering stadium.
Right. That stadium is going to be going up, and like the old city, we have to fucking retire that phrase now with all these new.
They
capitalistic
the
fucking
old city
shit
out. I knew friends that lived down there that when
wasn't
started,
that the whole point of keep. Knoxville scruffy. Like when I moved here 10 years ago, there was this huge campaign, keep Knoxville scruffy. I think they wanted to put a McDonald's downtown. And people raised hell.
I mean, I can tell you, I've been bitching about it too. I've now that COVID's passed, I've done a little more travel, not outside of the South. But Knoxville is also one of the worst walking and bike cities.
It is. It is. And public transportation is shit.
Mm.
I think all the time, like, it'd be really nice to have a fucking rail system.
Well, the car industry is not going to let that happen.
Yeah. No. Like, all like, fucking, not just
people
in
are
our
complaining
city.
People about gas prices rising. Why don't we have a train system through America? The one answer
through
is
America.
The oil industry.
High speed throughout cities, between cities. Fucking Knoxville
China put
do
one
like
up
a,
through their whole fucking country within the last 10 years.
We need one. It like,
but it's
cut
the
down
oil
a lot
industry. We are owned by the oil. We are an oil industry. America is an oil industry.
But another problem that, so, and not just me thinking this, but even in the comments popped up. Didn't, like, last week an article came out that the homeless population in Knoxville was, you know, being scattered and they're moving into the counties? And this city, instead of divesting funds or investing funds to help the community, the homeless community, they're just popping up all these unnecessary fucking venture capitalist fucking projects.
Exactly what they wanted to happen happened. There, so, Knoxville, they're wanting to bring money in, which is part of the reason for this fucking stadium.
Because people love Smokies baseball. So, everyone loves it so much, they'll come here because they love baseball so much.
Right, right, right. Exactly. But and the thing is, though, Knoxville's downtown. Like, I think people should come check it out from time to time.
It's
we
not
have
very
some nice
walkable.
Spots.
There's not a lot down
there's
there.
There's not.
To be
Old City, I like Old City a lot.
I like
did.
Parts of Old City, a
right.
fourth of it.
They're
was not owned by Randy Boyd.
Yeah,
Montana's,
but
or Wagon Wheel.
You've
or
completely
Carlitos.
Jesus fuck.
I don't even
throw
know what I was
you.
Saying now because of Sam. I don't know. Sam fucked me all up.
But here, I'll segue into this. Another thing that one of the activities I used to like doing pre-COVID. I'm still not, I don't know if I'm ready to go out into, you know, Market Square again, maybe, but I used to like to go to Scruff City Hall, Preservation Pub, get a little drunk, and then go up to the fucking, the globe, what's the fucking thing called?
Oh,
the
Sun Sphere.
The Sun Sphere, and now they're going to fucking start charging admission.
$5. It sucks, but I'm not. It's not a lot, and I'll probably pay it from time to time,
it's
but
not
without
worth
bitching.
It. There's nothing up there. That's worth $5. I could tell you a billion things that are worth more than $5.
It's just a fucking, like,
that should
my
be a public
kid goes
works,
to school near downtown.
Of going for the
every
stadium.
Now and then when I pick my kid up from school, like, we'll go for a walk or something downtown, and it's right there. So it's just something to fucking do.
Well, now it's
when,
not, because it's something that costs money.
Yeah, it's...
I'd still
that the
probably
city should pay for, but
the
now
should,
they want
should,
you to pay for
the
it.
The city should pay for
the
it, but they're paying for the fucking
pay
stadium.
For it.
And this is what happens when we vote these fucking assholes. like Glenn Jacobs, who's like, I'm going to bring businesses to Knoxville. And by businesses, I mean more Ruby Tuesdays.
Yeah, and that's like the fucking, I keep seeing Republicans referring to franchises as locally owned businesses. I'm like, that's not what that fucking is. It's, no.
Like I was saying, I've done some travel, and it's especially sad when you like go to other southern cities that are doing it right, and you can walk
Asheville.
Around. Yeah, Asheville, Savannah was pretty fun. You can walk around, and you're like, look, there's a restaurant that I've never heard of.
And I think that's what Knoxville was trying to do when I first moved here. Because a lot of, like, well, they have the hotels and stuff down there and banks. But all the Starbucks are in hotels. The only, like, chain restaurant I know of, or, the like, for the longest time, was Subway down there.
Petros, oh, in Market Square.
Huh? That started in Knoxville.
But... Yeah. You know, that's and but and that's what it was. It, like, let's keep all this local. But then they're building all this, like, the fucking... At which the stadium would be a local thing, but it's still not that scruffy.
I met a friend partly between here and Johnson City, and I was like, it took like 27 minutes to get to, I think, to get to fucking exit 407 where the current stadium is right now.
Right, it's not
that's not a fucking drive. It's not gonna bolster fucking people traveling to Knoxville.
Their whole excuse is they think it's going to revitalize downtown in some way and bring money.
It's going to fuck up our experience, because I do like walking around Old City. And it's going to now.
I think they have completely misunderstood how much people like Smokey's Baseball.
Yeah, and so that's why I think this hotel is going up, because they think they had this misaligned idea of what is going to be coming in with this.
I mean, UT football's dumb as hell, and we've seen how much people love that, though. Like, I think it's a fucking joke. I seriously am starting to hate this fucking town. Like, I know I work hard to try to make it better, but at this point, I think we should just burn it all down and start from scratch.
Because they keep fucking
we call
up.
Ourselves the fucking Vols, because volunteer implies that you are selfless, but I literally think that 80% of the people here are the worst people literally in the whole fucking world. We learned that. I have that supported by COVID records.
Well, because if we were selfless, then we would be using county and city funds not to, you know, offset the cost of these projects. Capitalist fucking projects, and then actually developing the houseless community here in Knoxville.
Well, yeah, like we were saying the other day, that a lot, they destroyed the mental health facilities that were the barrier between these people hitting the streets. Like, they had a mental health crisis and lost their job. They used to go to Lakeshore Peninsula, and now they go to the street.
And now they make sure to go through and routinely clean up those camps because they're
unsightly. They just want them to die. Just want them to die. That's their plan. I mean, that's the American plan right now. There is a class war going on. The reason why the prices are rising, the price on everything is rising.
Unnecessarily. Unfucking necessarily.
But your wages aren't rising because they literally want you to die. Kill and eat your boss.
All these companies all these people that are saying that there's this inflation, it is a false inflation. If you look at any company's profits last year and even right now, they are posting record fucking profits. There is no inflation. There's no true inflation.
The only way to stop this is to eat all the CEOs.
What is going on right now is I think they saw what happened. They saw the pandemic, and they found a way to capitalize on it and then raise the prices and keep it at that level despite everything being fucking normalized right now. I mean, sure. Should we be going full normal because we're still having 1,600 plus dead daily? You know, that's
those are Republicans, granted.
But
that's the only thing that might
change. We're not in lockdown status like we were. We're not in lockdown status. You know, the increase in prices, like, it's not a supply and demand problem right now. Now, there's somewhat of a supply problem in some areas, but to the extent of what they're raising this, and I'm going to air quote, inflation, is not representative of what they're actually posting to their profits and their shareholders. So that's a fucking complete terrible argument.
Eat your CEO. Hey, if you're feeling desperate and you can't pay to go to work, just try eating your CEO. Because they're making more money than you, and they're the reason everything's fucked. Stop blaming Biden, you fucking idiot piece of shit. I swear, if I see one of your fucking... If you put a fucking sticker on a thing, I'm going to make you bite the fucking curb.
God, it's so fucking stupid. They don't. they always think the president has some, has all the control and power over fucking gas prices and inflation. And like, you, that's not the fucking reality. You're a fucking idiot. Between the gas prices blaming on Biden and the pipeline, which we've already debunked, they're fucking idiots. They're fucking morons. But there's nothing you do to change their minds because they're on their, they're basically like self-restricting the information they get. They're basically like,
they're making
themselves Russian citizens right now, whereas like they only get the information that they want or can get.
And anything that's like something anybody would like critical thinking skills may find somewhat reputable, they've been taught to dismiss it as fake news.
It was fucking Trump gave rise to that. It really, really did. He coined and pushed the phrase, and now not only have we ran with it, but now fucking. I know we feel for the people of Ukraine. We've seen the horrific images. We've already did our Ukraine section, but the people of fucking Russia right now, it's so fucking bad for them. The Kremlin literally made it a crime to spread, I'm going to air quote this, fake news, what they call fake news, and it's a 15-year penalty to even someone to publicly say that the Ukraine military strategic mission as a war or invasion. 15 fucking years.
Jesus.
The new number for arrested, for those who were brave enough to take the streets in Russia, 13,500.
As of when?
As of me reading the story today.
I guess Russia needs another revolution. I mean, what we're doing, I don't disagree with what we're doing to Russia right now. That even though it hurts the people, it's an economic siege.
Because we have to get the people to turn against fucking Putin.
Yeah, they need to up their ante because, I mean, yeah, their peaceful protesting isn't going to get them out of this situation.
I'm really impressed because I think last week I talked about the pendant I got from Etsy that's coming from Russia. It's already being shipped.
Oh, nice.
I expected it to be late. And, right. No, I asked when I saw it was shipped, I was like, hey, this is good to know. Should I expect any kind of delays with what's going on? He's like, no, I checked, and everything seems to be moving fine between here and the U.S.
I mean, again, for the Russian people, feel for them. I mean, now the Russian military is literally bombing fucking maternity hospitals, which they're saying is fake news. But the people in Russia, like all the companies, all these U.S.-based companies and large companies that operate within Russia, have shuttered their fucking doors. So the Russians have very limited access to goods, services, airlines. Fucking money. The ruble's down to a third of a cent compared to the U.S. dollar. Like, their economy is being fucking tanked, but fucking Putin's doubled down.
And our cent sucks.
Yeah.
our currency is also worthless.
So if
that's
they're,
pretty
if they're,
bad.
Yeah, that is fucking bad. If they're that worthless to ours, this is all based on Putin's fucking actions, and there are some, pro...
Did you see the South Park, the related South Park? They're like, sometimes when you get older, your pee-pee doesn't work as well. And they were saying that's why Putin's attacking the Ukraine.
I hadn't seen it yet, but I like the way they spin things. I like a lot of the episodes they've done on world events. They make a lot of good, subtle points in doing so. I wonder if that shit will probably be banned in fucking Russia, because Russia is seriously, they've already shuttered every independent news organization. They've all closed down. The only ones that are running are state run.
Yeah. I was seeing a list of movies that are banned in Russia too. It was a pretty interesting list, but
tough situation. All right. Well, that's going to wrap us up for episode 55 of Apostates on the Fringe. Thank you guys again for joining us this week. As a reminder, head on over to patreon.com/apostatepod and check us out. We do have several tiers that give you bonus content whenever we have it and early access to the shows. I do try to get those out as early as Friday night. So if you would like the show and want to become a patron to help support and grow the show, head on over and sign up and, throw us a, it's a monthly, so it's not a per episode. So head on over and check us out. As always, you can check us out on social media. I'm not so active on Twitter. Trying to do a little bit better. Sam's going to be helping me out on that. At least he's so.
You've been doing good. You've been getting some traction. Join us on Twitter.
Join us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. I make sure to post all the episodes when they go live. If you would like links to the articles, and again, I'm going to include this amazing. It's an hour long, but worth every fucking minute. Video by Channel 5 with Andrew. So if you like links to the articles or to contact the show, you can visit apostatepod.com. Continue to share out the show everywhere you can, leaving us a 5-star review to increase our visibility. But we will see you all next week.
Fuck Disney.
Fuck the Knox City Council that is fucking up Knoxville.
All right, I got nothing to fuck, but go like Old City Optical Reliquary on YouTube. Thank you all very much. Apostates on the Fringe.
Apostates on the Fringe. The views and opinions of the hosts of Apostates on the Fringe do not represent the views and opinions of the Atheist Society of Knoxville. For links to all our musical contributors, go to apostatepod.com and check the About Us page. A big thank you to Michael Scott Arden, who allows the show to use his full catalog.